I welcome you with all my heart. Most of us have been searching for reality for many years. We've been to many teachers, many groups. But we still haven't found peace. Why? Because we're searching. That's a direct, succinct answer. Because we're searching for something. No matter how many times I emphasize, there's nothing to search for. People still search. Sometimes it would be better if we tore up all the books. Books are only to motivate us, to make us know there's something else. But there comes a time when we have to go within and try to understand what this body really is. The truth, of course, is not a teaching. I do not philosophize. I do not give a teaching as it were. I simply give a confession. And to most people it means nothing. But we're not trying to attract most people. Those who feel something in their heart will always come to satsang. And you'll always attract a teacher that is more to your liking. I do not consider myself a teacher or a guru. I do not consider myself anything at all. But the reality that is left over is your reality. It is omnipresence. There's one unqualified reality, and this is it. Right here, right now. There are no bodies here. What you see is your own business. When you see others, you're making a mistake. There never were others. Awesome. We're always looking for something. We want to find the right teacher. But as I often say, you are the right teacher. The right teacher is where you are. Person, place, or thing is not the right teacher. You probably saw the movie Siddhartha, where he found the river in a piece of the forest. Even that's a mistake. Because he took the river seriously. He made too much of the forest. He was the forest. He was the river. What we're seeking is utter foolishness. There's nothing to seek. I get so many calls. People tell me their problems all the time. And I really don't know how to respond. To whom shall I tell my problems? There just are not any problems. There are no problems. There never were problems. And there never will be problems. You may say to yourself, the only one my problems. But if you live in the moment, is there a problem right now? The second? There's nothing. Nothing is your real nature. A problem begins only when you start thinking. But if you learn not to think, where's the problem? So, we have to empty the mind and then get rid of the mind. And we cannot empty the mind by thinking. Only by observation. Only when there is no thought. Is the reality. There's no sense saying to yourself, I am Para Brahman, Absolute Reality. I am unborn. Those are just words. And the next problem, the next moment you have a problem, you have an emotion. You feel something is wrong. But you keep declaring, I am unborn. I am the Absolute Reality. It's better to say nothing. To believe nothing. To be nothing. And that's just being yourself. It's better just to sit and think of nothing and try to become nothing than it is to chant mantras or to make affirmations. Or to keep saying, I am Brahman. Just by sitting, you will become yourself. Last Sunday, I gave you four principles, which I usually don't do. And I shared four principles with you. And everybody was in awe. But in the next couple of days, I received phone calls from people still telling me their problems. if you understood the principles, where is the problem? Even if you understood one principle, and you ponder that, you would be at peace. So what are the four principles? Who can tell me? Sam, do you remember?
I know it, but
But yet you know about food, you know about sleep, you know about girls.
No, I
just... And you know about...
I don't know about any of those. Caught me in a bad
way. I remember the first one.
What's that?
That everything emanates from the
yes. Think about that. Everything in this universe, person, place, or thing, everything, your body, your thoughts, creation, God, everything you can think about.
Each other.
Hmm?
Each other will also emanate from.
Yes. Everything, I mean everything, is a projection of your mind. If you really understand this, how can you have a problem? But you may say, well, my rent's due on the first, and I don't have any money, so how can this help me? You would be amazed what it does for you. Do the trees lack for leaves? Do the flowers fail to bloom? If you can realize the truth that everything is an emanation of your mind, you would become yourself. And yourself is omnipresence. It includes everything for the survival of your body. Think about that. Your body comes from your mind. But as long as you believe your body is yourself, and you understand that it comes out of your mind, it will be provided for. Just like leaves are provided for the trunk of the tree. So this teaching is quite predictable. And it can be used to improve your humanhood. Not by trying to improve your humanhood directly. That's where you've got problems. But by forgetting about your humanhood and realizing everything is a mental projection. Again, what happens? When you realize that the whole universe as a manifestation of your mind, you become omnipresence. And in the omnipresence is contained all of your needs. And all of your needs are met from within. But, when you start worrying, or thinking about it, you spoil it. Then you have to do human things to take care of you. But if you leave the human head alone and go back to the understanding that it's all in your mind, you know, now you can let go of your mind. And the self takes over. Bringing the right people in your life, the right situation, the right objects. Remember again, your body came to this earth because of karma. And it's going to go through whatever it has to go through. But you've got absolutely nothing to do with that. Of course, you are not your body. But if you think about it, it's your spot. Subsequently, allow your body to do whatever it came ready to do. Do not interfere. Do not fight. Simply observe. Do not react. You will be okay.
Questions,
sure.
How about following the inner feelings? What I've been doing lately is going by my inner feelings more. This feels really right for me. Is that also?
You've got to watch yourself because most of the time, inner feelings are really habit energy. From past lives, and from this life when you were a little kid. You develop certain habits. Most people believe they're in their feelings.
Well, I feel like I've gone against my inner feelings, like doing the church, the only group I was with. I stayed in there against my inner feelings, that's why I'm in part to stay there.
Mm.
I feel so much clearer in my life.
Well, you were meant to leave. So you did. You are meant to leave. You are not meant to be there.
Right.
You're not there.
Well, what about this inner voice people tell me? Is that the unconscious and how reliable we can?
Most of the time it's a bunch of nonsense. Because to whom comes the inner voice? To the mind.
It's all part of the negative type.
Yes. It's all part of astral planes and mental planes and causal planes. It all has to do with your body. So you have to ask yourself, to whom does the inner voice come?
Would it be distinguished from instincts?
It would in the mental plane. When we're speaking of a mental plane, we speak of distinguishing between instinct and intuition.
And is one better than the other?
They're both the same. When we're talking about this path, we realize that intuition, as well as instinct, comes to the ego. It is the ego that feels these things. The self is omnipresent. There's no room for anything else. It's emptiness, nirvana, the unborn.
Is it possible that body and mind can go on living maybe go on with your inner feelings, maybe not, yet always looking beyond that as myself, always looking beyond that into who am I?
Your body will go on living anyway.
Right.
It'll take care of itself. And all those thoughts come from the ego.
Okay, so that's the point of you to look at it from.
Yes.
See that it goes on by itself.
Exactly.
Okay.
But do not concern yourself with what you should eat, what you should wear, and where you should go.
Because it all becomes a trip.
Sure, please.
It all becomes a trip.
There is something within you that guides you. It will direct you when you become still. When you make the mind quiescent. Quiet, calm. You will then be guided to know what to do. It is true that some people use their intuition and accomplish great things. But how long does it last before it attracts misery to it? as long as you're living in the world of cause and effect, the world of duality, for every good there's a bad, for every bad there's a good, for every up there's a down. Don't be fooled. Use your intuition, your voices, and they guide you and say, do this, and you become successful. And you think you did something good. But before you know it, the IRS gets all of you. And they throw you in jail.
Well, I just got to dive you right into the grave, okay?
Of course.
I think the question is the inner voice superior to regular thinking?
Nothing is superior to the self. Be yourself, abide in yourself, and you'll never go wrong. But when you hear voices, it comes out of your mind. You attract.
And the mind is mind.
The mind is very powerful.
Yes, and therefore the question is, who's aware of this?
Who told me who is?
Pardon?
Who is?
Who is?
Who's aware of it? There's nobody to be aware of anything. Nobody's home. Emptiness.
I feel that that's true.
Who feels them? Even the feeling is wrong.
Uh-huh, okay.
You just abide in the self. There's no feeling. There's nirvana, there's emptiness. There's the state of the unborn.
It's really interesting that all manifestation can point to that. You know, even the words, who am I? It just says, oh. Something. To me, it says something's aware of it. Yeah, seed.
The seed's got to go.
Pardon?
The seed has to go.
Seed?
Mm-hmm. It has to go. You should have no feeling.
As myself.
As yourself. But something will take over. Something that is beyond words. There's a something that will come. It can be called Satchitananda, bliss. Call it whatever you like. But something will take over and you'll feel divine. And you'll be okay, just the way you are. Now, what's the second principle we're talking about? See, the secret, as I told you Sunday, is to think about these things as soon as you open your eyes in the morning. As soon as you open your eyes, what do you think about? You think about food. You think about your day. You think about work. You think about money. You think about friends, relationships. But you do not think about your mind being a projection of all the things that happen. Whatever you think about in the morning will carry you through. Therefore, you have to think about the right things in the morning. As soon as you awaken, don't wait. So what's the second principle we discussed on that? Who remembers?
There are no others, all things to us.
No, it's by the first. See, so again, I ask you, what do you remember? You remember your personal problems. You remember your needs. And you think you're human. You think about the body continuously. That's why there's trouble with self-realization.
Reflected on this one.
wanted to come in.
Sure.
I told him Sundays and Thursdays before.
Okay. So you've got to investigate your mind and watch it all the time. See what it's doing to you. Watch how it controls you. It makes you emotional. It makes you believe something is wrong. It makes you angry. All these things come from the mind. The idea is to be aware of this. The awareness alone leads you to the light. Just being aware of that alone. You don't have to know any book knowledge. Just be aware of what your mind really is. That's how you conquer your mind. By being aware of it. And no longer responding to it. No longer to react to the mind. Something that usually makes you angry. Before you'd respond. And you'd want to win the argument. But now your reaction is no reaction. You simply smile and you watch. When your mind sees there's no response, it will become weaker and weaker until it disappears. It's just like arguing with a person. What happens if you stop arguing? The person goes away. They don't know what to think. They just won't have anything to do with you. Just leave. So when you stop responding to your thoughts, your mind will go away. It'll become weaker and weaker and weaker until there's no mind. So what's the second principle? Some of the words I spoke are down.
Self-observation, was that
No. See, think about this. There are so many things you remember. But they all have to do with your body. Sure? That's right. No. You're trying to have trance.
They're all really the same.
No way. But if you forget them, what do you remember in its place? Now you remember something.
I remember I forgot something.
Zip code. Zip code, yeah.
I forgot those
too. Okay, the second one, remember, was to have a deep feeling and the realization that you were unborn, that you do not prevail, and you will never disappear. Remember? You will never die. Think about that. Just to think to yourself that you are unborn. There's no cause for your birth. Cause doesn't exist. There's no reason for your birth. You never were born. And as far as your existence is concerned, it's not there. You do not prevail from birth to death. There is nothing going on. Absolute nothing. And you do not get older. You do not disappear. Or you do not die. Think about that. How free you'll become when you understand what this means. It's a beautiful feeling to know that you were never born. That you've always existed, but not the way you think you are. your life as it is right now, whatever you think you're doing, however important it may be to you, is totally meaningless. Why? Because it'll be gone soon. So whatever you're getting into, whatever excites you, is only for a time. Take Elvis Presley. People still remember him. But will anybody remember him 500 years from now? Take your great classical musicians, concertos, Bach, Schubert, everybody else, Rachmaninoff. They're important to you right now. But 500 years from now, nobody will remember them at all. Everything will be so different. It'll be like you're in another universe. So the point is, if you get too involved in those things, you're missing the mark. Because you're not understanding your real nature. You're not understanding who you really are. You should be searching for the meaning to yourself and spending 80% of the time doing that. I know it's not easy to do for some people because they seem to be involved in life. But yet you can do it. It doesn't matter. You don't have to set aside time for meditation. You can do it while you're driving your car, while you're at work, while you're playing music. Just be aware of yourself, of who you really are, and realize the rest are a projection of your mind. To be aware of these truths sets you free. Just to be aware of them.
Would that be the same when you say you are unborn and you will never die? Is that the same thing saying nothing exists?
Yes, it is.
So that could also be when it is.
Nothing as you think or as it appears exists. It appears to exist. But so does a dream. A dream appears very real. But is there a creation in the dream? Is there an end? Everything just begins and ends when you wake up. The world is the same.
So nothing, exists because even existence is an idea.
It's an idea.
It's an idea. It's a word that expresses something or other.
That's going to go in the end. In the beginning, when you're finding yourself, you realize that I exist. I am that I am means I exist. Same thing. But then you find out who is the I that exists. And you follow through. And that's got to go.
Yeah, that's
good. Everything's got to go. Now the average person will think, if everything goes, what's left? What's left is everything. You are left as yourself. And that's beyond explanation. Then you turn back to yourself and you become humble, compassionate, loving. Because you are aware that you are the whole universe. And you can say, all this is the self and I am that.
Is that an experience?
That's an experience. It's beyond experience. It's a revelation. It's a revelation. It stays with you all the time.
Because experience is for
them. Exactly. True. That can be called Sahaja Samadhi. When you abide in the self all the time. But that's ineffable. It's beyond words.
So experience doesn't matter how deep you really matter.
There's no such thing as deep. Deep is a mind concept. You're either that or you're not. So what's the third principle? I'm going to ask you again on Sunday.
I remember the first thing that...
Egolessness is at the basis of everything. Everything has no ego. Now, I'm not just talking about sentient things. Everything. The mineral kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, the animal kingdom, the human kingdom, and so forth. There is no ego behind it.
That's number three. There's no ego.
That means there's no cause for its existence. And just to understand this perfectly makes you live in the moment all the time. It gets you centered. Think what that means to you personally. That there's no ego on back of anything. There's no cause for anything to exist. Like the dream again. Is there a cause for the dream? All of a sudden you find yourself dreaming and everything exists. Where did it come from? It came from the mind. It's a dream. And the only way to get out of a dream is what? To wake up. So this is also a sort of a dream. It has no substance. Everything is transient. No ego in back of it.
I don't quite understand there being no ego and there being no cause.
The ego is what makes something real.
Or so appear real.
The reason your body is doing what it does is because of your ego. That's the cause of your body function. The ego. So there's no ego. There's no lack. There's no limitation. There's no sickness. There's no death. There's nothing like that.
Well, is the ego, are the ego and the mind the same, or are you making a difference?
They can be synonymous, in a way. Take, for instance, you've got a sickness of some kind. If you realize there's no ego on back of it, there's no cause, where did it come from? It didn't come from anything, so it doesn't exist.
So could you also just say nothing exists?
But is it meaningful for you when you say that? See, it has to be meaningful for you. If you say nothing exists, your mind and your ego will come in and fight you and say, what do you mean? You have to tear us out. What is this? So you'll become disappointed.
My non-existent ego.
But when you understand the entire principle, that everything is egolessness, everything. And you just exist in the moment like that. you exist in the second, in the moment. And in that moment, all is well. And everything is unfolding at its head. In that moment. But as soon as you start to think, then there's a cause.
The only cause is the thinking process.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Thinking.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah, because that's what
nature
is right now.
Exactly. And you may think it's hard to do, to think like that, to be like that, but it's not. Just by remembering the egolessness of all things will wake you up. You'll become free. Now it's the fourth principle.
Doesn't exist. None of these principles exist.
You're right. I usually don't do this. So I'm giving you these principles to help you. They don't exist, right? But as long as you believe your body exists, they exist also. As long as you feel the world exists, your body exists, your mind exists, then the principles also exist. And karma exists, and God exists, and creation exists. Nobody remembers the four principles. Well, I'll share it with you again. Of course.
No karma.
That's a commandment.
Well, if you recall, you have to have a strong feeling and realization of what self-realization means. And what's the only way you can do that? Remember? That helps. By realizing what is not. So you're right. You can't know what self-realization is because you're already that. But you can know what it's not. So, by eliminating everything, then what is left is self-realization.
So how would you simply define that before?
By realizing there's no body, there's no world, there's no God, there are no organs, there's no mind.
It sort of summarizes all the others.
Yes. So there's nothing. So every time you think of something, you say nothing, nothing. Not this, not this. And you go all the way down until there's nothing left to say. Then you're that.
Let's give a simple explanation in the order. Three or four words.
Three or four words. There are no others. Nothing else exists but itself. And I am that. You've got to work it out in your own head. You've got to use your mind to destroy your mind.
But it's based on what you need.
Yes.
By elimination.
Exactly. Even if thoughts come to you like, I am perfect, get rid of that.
I've had that
thought. I am not the body. Get rid of that thought.
And I wrote down, realize what is not.
That's good. Whatever you come up with, it's not that. So you're completely empty. It's like emptying out a garbage can. As long as you keep turning it back over the garbage can, you're going to hold it upside down so all the garbage falls out. So, we've got lost some scars, past tendencies, karma, all that's got to go. So we empty everything out, so there's nothing left. Stay upside down. Then you become free. It's really simple. It's not complicated. But if you remember the principles, it helps you. That's all I've got to say. Questions? See, those of us who come here are tired of playing mind games. We want to become free. And you become free by not wanting to become free. It's just abiding in yourself, by obeying yourself. And if you follow those four principles, you will become yourself very fast. But you have to think of them all the time.
May I ask a question?
Of course.
When you spoke about the first principle, it spoke a lot to what was going on with me. And I realized the answer is that however I'm unable to live it. My situation as a teacher has been extremely stressful. It's hard to not help. I also hate the situation.
Changing.
That's what I wanted to ask. Do I accept it or do I change it? Relatively speaking.
It depends on where you're coming from.
I haven't been able to transcend it.
So change it.
How do I do this without knowing? I have no
look at your past.
Alternatives yet.
Look at your background. Look at your background. If you seem that you've changed things a lot in your life, and things are still bad, then don't change it or work on yourself. And if you're not had negative experiences, and this is pretty bad for you, then change it.
I have a pattern of being in negative experiences. One particularly has been brought to working in the world, a job, and just making a living in the world. I like teaching, going out, and then I take ill-paying jobs, and then I go back to teaching. And then this job, which just about did it to me physically, I'm getting back on my feet now a little bit.
Fine, now who's going through those experiences? You're not going through any of these experiences. You're free. Find out who's free and who's going through these experiences. Separate them.
May I still change the job if that presents itself as a possibility?
By all means.
And so I don't. I need a job that I. As a figure of speech in my heart said I hate. It's hard for me to get myself up in the morning to go to it. Very hard to. I don't have to force myself to keep the job because that means doing my practice.
Mm.
Is that wrong? Is that wrong-headed?
No, it's not.
It means that I'm not deep, clearly that I'm not deep enough, and I know I'm not deep enough.
You're going to find that things will improve for you this year.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Things will start improving this year for you. To your liking.
When you said ask to whom they think it's occurred, then that's self-inquiry, right? And you send it self-inquiry, right? Well,
of course it always does. If you do it in the right way.
Because if you ask who hates it, it turns out to be the ego, right?
Doesn't work for me. Not as an experience.
Then don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I have a hit for it. I have an intuition I share.
Mm.
But it does not take me to the experience that I'm not the mind of the mind. It does not cease suffering. Suffering doesn't cease. I do not go to the point of the cessation of suffering by inquiry. And yet, the teaching is true, it rings. What seems to work partly for me is a surrender, giving up. But it's not sufficient. Giving up isn't sufficient. I realize that, and I seem to lack the whether it's the strength or the insight, or there's still fighting, there's a partial giving up, and there's tremendous suffering.
Then simply quiet your mind, sit still, and do nothing. Everything will happen by itself. Like you're doing now. Become still. Do not try to do anything to yourself. If thoughts come, just watch them. And everything will take care of itself. That's when you abide in the self, when you do nothing, and everything stops. All action stops. And no matter how things come to you, you don't care. You just don't react. Even death makes no difference. No, you can't say that because that's the ego again.
Mm-hmm.
But when you just sit and all fear leaves you, something else will take its place. And that will be bliss and happiness. When you stop fearing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So just sit and let all the fears come. Smile and sit still.
You can just look up and detach them.
Just watch them. Let them come. Let them do the worst. Let them drive you crazy. And you don't care.
Yeah.
Let them. But you try to stop. Now let them. Just whistle. Sing a song. Do nothing. And watch what happens.
So you're talking basically about
self-observation? Not even self-observation, because you got to think about that to do self-observation. You're actually just doing absolute zero.
Just being.
You've turned yourself off. And you have the attitude, even if I die right now, so what? Doesn't matter. Even if my worst fear manifests, good, live. No, not really. It seems difficult, but it's easy if you do it, if you try. Get by yourself and just sit down, put your hands together, and do absolutely nothing. Don't tell yourself you're watching or you're practicing anything at all. Give all practices up. Give it all up.
So even questioning who am I is still ego.
Yes. Definitely. Give everything up. And let the worst come.
That rings for me. One problem with my job is I have to be up at 5:30 in the morning. And I meditate best in the morning, just on waking. Because it's been eliminated from my life in the last 2 years, and I find it hard in the evening because I've been so stressed out. I still will try this, but I felt crippled by not being able to meditate in the morning.
Can you get up half an hour earlier?
I will have to get up earlier.
Your problem is this. You think you have to meditate. You don't have to do anything. No, just be yourself. You don't have to meditate, you don't have to do anything. Be yourself. Just the way you are.
The path that Robert teaches, it's really, really blew my mind because I was on a different path and I've been meditating for like 8 years. And I've been taught to meditate. A dualistic path. And then you have
whatever, right. Yeah. Die, blah, blah, blah.
Not that I'm into it.
Well, so, but the thing about what Robert has taught me, I mean, there are many things. First of all, that the growth doesn't come about when you're conscious of it. I think even here, like, it's not coming about through words, yet it's happening. It's not through words. And the same growth in your lifetime does not come about when you're sitting and meditating, not that that's that. But even while you meditate, if you're trying to meditate, I just have to sit away and have a practice. Inner silence, okay. Whatever. Now, if I do sit to meditate, according to what I've learned from Robert, it's just like I am. I am that I am. I am. What I am is the feeling that's behind when I say I am. So whatever that feeling is, that I don't do anything. Yeah. I don't think, I don't not think. And I just try to be like Robert, because I see how it sits. So
I understand.
So the growth that occurs, so you know, in a way he was saying that maybe you don't have to meditate. If you want to meditate, that's fine.
Because it's beneficial.
Right.
Being still, and I realize you can be still in action, but I do find it, especially when you're teaching, so
yeah, it's not only
being still.
It's not only being still, but you know, I still like to sit, and as Robert's saying, you don't even have to sit.
No, I don't want to
sit. And I understand how growth is occurring, you know, but I'm trying to steel myself, Robert said, do these things, I'm trying to do that, and I find sitting quiet and helps me to do that. Although, it's not, you don't grow just when you sit quietly. It's a 24-hour thing. And it's always, and it could be a change. I mean, if I'm out during the day, I may ask, who am I? Who, to whom is it for me? And it's like,
it's important that you make your life simple.
That's the thing. Mine's very complicated.
But when I say simple, I mean your mind. A person can do 20 different things, but mentally not doing anything at all. Detach yourself from everything. Go to work if you have to. Come home, wash the dishes, eat. Do what you do. But don't think about it. Don't get involved in the thought process. Just by doing that alone, something will move you to wherever you have to be. In other words, what I'm saying, when you go out of this situation mentally, you'll be forced to leave by the momentum of your mind. When you're doing what you're doing, without attachment, without being the door, without thinking that it's hard reading, it's like being in school or graduating, and the momentum will pick you up and put you at the next plateau wherever you've got to be. So if you're supposed to be in China, something will put you there, and you'll wind up in China. That's your next step. You've got nothing to do with it. Exactly. You have absolutely nothing to do with it. There's a mysterious power that takes care of everything. All you gotta do is abide in yourself. And you do that by keeping still.
So he's talking to us that we are not doing,
You know how he blew my mind, because I was always taught like it's so many different paths in meditation. The key word is kind of like self-realization. Mm-hmm. And almost the first time I met Robert, he said, there's no self and there's nothing to realize. And that's just, there are no words.
It's not doing anything in different from how the practice of witnessing.
Yes, it's different. Because you're not witnessing.
The witnessing is doing something.
Yes. There's nobody to witness. You're just empty.
Well, I can see that that's true, okay? And things appear, and there's no one really witnessing, because that hasn't come into being yet, as far as the witnessing goes.
Mm.
So, obviously there's no one doing it.
To witness, there has to be an ego.
So the witness would come later and say, oh, I've got a witness.
Yes. Just watch.
Can you say just witnessing goes on without being a witness?
Without being aware.
Pardon me, without being aware?
Yes. It just happens by itself.
It does just happen by itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always happening. As far as manifestation goes, it's always happening.
When you're not aware of your comings and goings, it means you've arrived.
Okay. You mean as a person?
As a person, as a mind.
And as a mind?
Yes.
Is there a difference?
Well, as a person is all your actions. Mind is all your thoughts.
Okay. So the thoughts are still something.
When there's nobody left to pay attention to the comings and goings of your body and your mind. Then you've arrived.
Okay. Paying attention to it, that's a key, isn't it?
That's a key.
Attention to
it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if the thoughts are there, just like the buildings are there and the sky is there and so on.
It's just there.
You're just there. You have nothing to do with.
Nothing to do with you.
Someone.
Exactly. Uh-huh. That's why the example I always use every time is the sky is blue. If you go outside and show me the sky and say, look, Robert, how beautiful blue it is.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, there's no sky and there's no blue.
Right.
So in reality, there are no thoughts and there are no actions. There's nobody to act and there are no thoughts. It's like hypnotism.
Do I need to be like that?
You just have to be that.
Okay.
It's like you've been hypnotized.
Did you see the truth of it?
Don't into that, no. There are no words to explain. You're just there.
Dude, that's so.
And that's what bliss is.
Yes, there's a touch of that. It's kind of like practice without practice.
That's right. John, what do you think of all this?
I try not to.
How do you think this affects the music?
I think that Brahman and Shakti are the same thing. That manifestation and non-manifestation are the same thing.
You're right. Sure. The music will go on.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got nothing to do with it.
That's the work I have to do. If it's meant to go on, then my work is to get out of the way of it.
The music will become more beautiful. Mm-hmm. But your ego will not be involved.
Mm-hmm. I have an appreciation for the beauty of, well, we all have an appreciation for life. And we need to love life, the manifestation of life. And I think that that aspect, manifestation is the same thing as, well, the mother aspect of God.
Mm.
And that.
Well, where does it come from?
I was reading the story of Ramakrishna and how his teacher brought him into samadhi.
Yes.
And he could not, Ramakrishna could not
experience it because he was too attached to the mother, his love for worshiping the mother. And I forget what his teacher did. I think he picked up a piece of glass and
pressed it between his eyes. He pushed it between his eyes.
Okay, yeah. To bring into one point.
Yes.
And so I can see how we can be too attached to the beauty of nature.
Well, look at it like this.
But also, later, Ramakrishna's teacher began to realize that Shakti was simply a manifestation, was simply the same thing. That in appreciating the beauty of a tree, you're also appreciating the non-existence of the tree too, or God. And that it's the same thing, that we can worship God in mindlessness, or one-pointedness, in asking, who am I? But also in seeing God in manifestation, are we not, isn't that the same state?
It depends what state of consciousness you're speaking from.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you are aware that all things are of your mind, that you're creating the universe out of your own mind, then you can worship whatever you like. But look at it this way again. I appreciate a flower, so I take the flower into my room, and I worship the flower on 2 days of bed. So what have I accomplished? I become disappointed, discouraged. So it is with life. We worship somebody, we worship something, and everything changes. And then we become disappointed. But like you said before, if we worship those things as the self, that's a different story.
That's what I should say. If you see that all is one,
that's different.
Yourself.
Can say also the manifestations never really align with that either.
Oh.
Is that what Ramakrishna did?
Hmm. See, that's why in the beginning stage, you learn to shy away from everything. Because you realize everything is duality. It's transitory, it comes and goes. But then in the realized stage, you begin to love everything again. Because it's all part of yourself. You just see it differently.
So his appreciation of nature is appreciation of the self.
Exactly.
The one is the one that you are.
I can see that there is also within reality life and death. God or Brahman also has the qualities of Shakti that perhaps by understanding the mother, that there is life and that there is death and there is constant change, maybe that's also an aspect of the Father, a constant renewal. That God is not stagnant, or is beyond concept. There's a constant, if you can imagine life and death at the same time, constantly renewing and constantly dying at the same time, and that perhaps nature is, the aspect of a mountain lion consuming a deer is merely the aspect of Brahman consuming itself.
If you can see it like that, you're okay.
I think that there is, that nature is simply a manifestation of the qualities of the Godhead. And
this is true, but from your talking, you have a tendency to separate both of them. Again, the Godhead is myself, everything is the self. So when you're talking about that, you realize it's the self you're talking about. You're talking about yourself.
Right.
The tiger consuming the deer is yourself. It's going on within you.
Right.
And if you see it from that aspect, then you can go back into duality. Doesn't matter. Isn't that right? Yes, there's bliss.
I see in the ecosystem, that aspect of nature which has had eternity, you know, thousands of years to work out balance, and life is coexisting with life. That helps me to, and I'm in that ecosystem. It functions like music does.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps me to understand how I can balance my own life, and helps me to see God.
So but you're still separating yourself. Look at
you. Yourself.
Yeah, well, right now I'm speaking as the ego of John Sherman.
Look at this one. It's like this. It's like you're having a dream, but you're aware that you're dreaming. You're awake in the dream. Okay. And you know you're participating in the dream.
Uh-huh.
But you know that you're dreaming and you're going to wake up. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Except what we have a tendency to do is we get involved in the dreams. We think the dream is real.
Take on a blunt,
huh? Yes. We get involved.
Slow,
and we have emotions. So and the dream becomes more powerful. So we're giving power to the dream. Thus we suffer. That's why we suffer. But if we're always aware it's a dream, we can't suffer. It's impossible to suffer.
Yeah.
Because you're aware that you're dreaming, and the dream is going on. And you're in.
I've been recently wondering about, the question came up about whether to not to change one's lifestyle.
Not to change one's lifestyle?
Hmm?
Not to?
Whether or not to make the decision to change something in one's life or to accept it.
Yeah. There's no standard answer because determined by the person or karma and everything else. Everybody's different.
What I've been thinking about is what part does the so-called science of mind, creative visualization, what part does that play in our lives, as far as imagining something first so that
yes.
we can then manifest it.
That's completely mind power. It's all mind.
Is it natural though? Is it natural for us to do that as human beings?
We have to learn to do it also. It's like going from grammar school to high school. And we learn all about the mind. Now when we learn all about the mind, we have to go higher. And drop the mind into them.
Mm-hmm.
And go beyond the mind.
Plus, which wouldn't creating your own reality as they call it in those beliefs,
mm-hmm.
would also, all of that, as well as the subtleties, is predestined. So whatever reality you create on that certain level wouldn't happen anyway. So you were predestined to create that reality. This was a higher reality.
Are we not co-creators with that? That destiny, you have a part to play in.
No, we're not co-creators. No. There's only one creator. There's only one. There's not a co. And you are that one.
That big power of a great self.
Everything else is mental.
Seeing the mind as a tool in the process of creativity.
Well,
I know that I'm not the mind, but can I not learn how to use my mind naturally in the process of creativity?
As long as you use the mind, you've got to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Say you use the mind to become a great musician. And you're going to play a concert in London. Then the plane crashes and you're dead. That's the use of your mind. But if you go beyond that, then you understand what the mind is and where it comes from. Then you begin to realize that the only freedom you've got is to turn within and see the truth. Everything else is karma.
Not sure that is attached to the creative process of redemption or enjoyment. Because you're watching something manifest itself. If you're not, if you're watching it, you're watching yourself do it rather than being immersed in it.
And kind of knowing that you're not the doer.
Yeah. There's much less ego or no ego, or whatever you want to call it. You know, if, and then it's like doing work. It's like doing anything else. You do it better. You start because you're not there. Mm-hmm. You're there, but you're not.
Yeah, it sounds paradoxical. When you know you're, there, you're not the doer, you just do it. That sounds like a paradox, but it really is.
So you can create the whole world with your mind. The mind is very powerful, but you got to watch out what you create.
Frankenstein. Okay.
Which is
but there is no mind.
You should run his own. As ask yourself, to whom comes this mind? Where did the mind come from?
Mm-hmm.
Find out where you can, you got the power, where did it come from? Where did all this power, this mind come from? Ask yourself.
Where this thinking has led me is that there is that aspect of mind, whether it's subconscious or world mind or universal mind, that's able to see what I need in my life better than me. And so the words seeking the kingdom make sense. And to me it makes sense that that is part of creativity, that in seeking the kingdom we are manifesting it. We are also creating it. And as part of our reality. And if that's the case, then there's no need to think or create anything other than that, because the universal mind knows what we need in order to live a balanced life.
How does it know? Where did this knowledge? Where did the knowledge come from?
The self.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you've been giving it power all the time. And it's always outside of yourself. It's all the time it comes from you.
Mm-hmm.
Take back the power. Do not think anything has power outside of yourself.
Well, if I see that the world is also the self, I can understand that. But the illusion is also the self, isn't it? There is nothing other than the self.
Well, what self are you talking about? If you're talking from the standpoint of Parabrahman, then everything becomes love, compassion, and joy. Yes.
The self is a
tough one. In other words, you treat your enemies and your loved ones alike. You look at an animal and a human being, and you're both the same thing. You stop the fragility. You don't do it consciously. It just happens like that. So the closer you get to self-realization, the more unity unveils itself. You might become one with every living thing. There's no difference.
And everything is living in itself. You're one with all things.
With all things.
Did you say the creature of upland and name is as
the same?
As the same, okay. It's doing the same, although you may not say the same things.
It depends who's talking.
Depends who's talking. Because no one's talking.
That's why silence is the greatest teacher. When Narada came over to my house the other day with Joy and some other people were there, there was a big conversation going on. What was I doing? I just sat there.
I learned a lot from that.
So I'm not so good of a conversation was.
Are you involved in the conversation?
Yes.
But you still saw it anyway.
I saw it. It was, well, it was very blatant because he was sitting in a chair and it was kind of in the middle of the room. You know, it was like nothing around him except the nature of the little dog. And it was it's something. Hang out with Robert a little bit more this week. Like what I was saying about meditation earlier, it's like self-realization, there's no self, there's nothing to realize, so when you sit and meditate, you're just sitting there, and everything is perfect as it is.
Yeah, well, you sitting to meditate, you realize that I was basically...
Right, well, the whole idea is absurd, and I knew that, and when I saw Robert sitting there, like I visualized, I saw what I knew. You know, it would be perfect if he could just come here and sit here in silence.
So don't invite me to your party.
But why do you have a party?
Now remember also, I didn't consciously say, I'm going to sit here and say nothing.
Right.
There was just nothing to say. In other words, don't put it on.
Uh-huh.
Don't imagine it like that. I remember one time when I was in Fallsburg, New York. Muktananda invited me over to see him when Muktananda was alive and I'm born. So I was having all the Shakti going on. And everybody was jumping up and down, doing all kinds of things. And screaming and going crazy. So I was really amused. He went to all the monitors and says, throw this guy out. Throw that guy out. Throw this guy out. Because they're all putting it on. They're all playing games. They imagine all kinds of things are happening to them. And spirits are there and all kinds of nonsense. So the point is, be yourself. Don't put anything on. Do not imagine you're somebody else. Just be yourself.
You told me that on the phone. I think it's the way. The way I was to be myself during the day. It's to be as natural as possible.
And what about at night?
Pardon me?
What about at night?
What about at night? Same thing.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Well, are you saying being yourself or being rest?
The same thing. When you just think of it, don't separate. I am myself. Just that alone makes something happen.
Don't, you know, it's just, you think you're saying is don't make this self any different. It's with everything else.
That's right. In the beginning stages, you try to separate the self from your body. You say, I'm not the body. Then it must be something else. So that's duality. But as you advance, you realize there's no body. There never was a body. There's only the self, and I am that.
Which is the point.
Yes. In other words, what you believe is your body is the self, but you think it's the body.
Because everything.
Sure. You're not limited to a body.
Is it possible to experience the self through focusing on, say, a waterfall or a tree, something outside of our own body presence?
It can give you a good feeling. Give you a very high feeling. But there has to be an experience there to experience. If no experience there exists, so as long as you are the experience there, you'll be experiencing all kinds of phenomena. When you transcend the experience there, then you are the waterfall, or the mountain, or whatever. There's no difference.
It's the same obstacle though, isn't it? The obstacle that's in the way of realizing the self within the body is the same as realizing the self within the waterfall.
Yes. You are the obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So you are the obstacle?
You are the obstacle, yeah.
Where, you mean, the mind?
The mind, yeah.
But aren't you, isn't he talking about the oneness of all things? Isn't that?
Mm-hmm. Well, if the self is in a tree, as well as within inside us, then it should not be possible to get in touch with the self by meditating on the tree, rather than on one of our own chakras or
it, in a way. But as long as
you ask who the tree is,
that's separation.
No, that's the reality.
A good analogy would be, instead of trying to look at the tree, think of everything as one big eye. You know, like this is an eye that sees, but we're all one, this is all an eye. There's nothing to look at. An eye that just exists by itself, which is the same as I.
That's
good.
See, there's nothing to look at. Because you're the eye, and that's the eye.
But
you're not looking at anything. You're not looking at anything, because then you're looking at something. Mm-hmm. And saying that's an eye. But you're part of
it. Then it would be imagining an eye, not looking at it.
No, but you don't imagine the eye, but just everything is the eye.
That's very good. The EYE is the same as
the
eye.
You're not imagining an eye, you are the eye, and that's the eye. And it's not looking at you. The waterfall is the eye, and that was looking at the waterfall is the eye. Everything is the eye. That's an easier way.
When the average person looks on a tree, they don't really see the tree. They have a concept of the tree.
Rather, I have an experience that seems to, I'm saying this, I don't know how it happens, but it feels like everything is myself, or sometimes it turns around and I feel like I'm not there. It's so obvious in that experience. I call it experience from this point of view. But from that, when I'm in that, it's like there's obviously nobody there. It's just
I know what you mean.
And later I say, I experienced that, but at the time there's no one there experiencing it.
Mm.
That's what it feels like.
You feel lonely?
I don't feel anything. I don't feel like I'm here. It's saying it's calling it an experience. No. It's not an experience. Right now I'm saying experience. It feels like there's no one here, no one anywhere. And everything is
just being.
Well, my question to you is, are you happy?
Am I happy? Yeah. Now am I happy?
When you have these experiences.
Am I happy during experience? It feels very, I can almost say happy. It's a transcendent kind of happiness, though. There's a,
if you have a semblance of reality, it's untold happiness. Extreme happiness. So it's a mental condition. You're either the suffering or not. There are no gradual stages. Everything else is mental.
Sometimes I seem to be able, okay, I'm still calling experience something.
Oh, did you get the answer to your last question? When I said, so what, who cares?
Who cares?
It meant that your problem has no substance. It's just like a shock. But who cares, so what? There's no basis for the problem. It just stupid isn't it? Get out of your mind. That's not good. So, it's been nice being with you. Remember to love yourself. To worship yourself, to bow to yourself, to pray to yourself. Because God dwells in you as you exist.